Catholic Radio Indy now presents Faith in Action, a program that looks at how everyday people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Our program is underwritten in part by Franciscan St. Francis Health, providing faith-based integrated health care, a recipient of HealthGrade's 2015 America's 100 Best Hospitals Award, and by Marian University, a great Catholic university dedicated to providing students with excellence in teaching and learning in the Franciscan and liberal arts tradition, preparing transformative leaders for service to the world. And now, here's today's edition of Faith in Action. This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is MJ Crowder.
Jim Ganley.
I think most of our listeners will be aware that this is a special week here at Catholic Radio. This is our Share-a-thon week, Monday and Tuesday of this week. We've had to take a lot of our regular programming off the air so that we could put on kind of a wall-to-wall share-a-thon almost with live programming here for one purpose and one purpose only. That's to raise the funding that it takes to keep Catholic Radio on the air 24/7 year-round. And so far, it's been very successful. If you're listening late in the week, the Share-a-thon was earlier this week, but it's not over. It's never over. You can always give us a call.
Opportunities galore, still available.
And you can donate a couple of different ways really easily. You can go to our website, CatholicRadioIndy.org, CatholicRadioIndy.org, and donate that way. Or just give us a call. We can even take a credit card donation right over the phone. The number here is 317-870-8400. 317-870-8400.
You know, I don't know if you, I mean, I'm sure you've noticed, but we have had so many wonderful guests lately on Faith in Action. You know, I'm particularly still kind of reeling and enjoying Father Travis Stevens from last week. I mean, to find out in the middle of our interview that he was a convert to the faith, and what's interesting is he thought about becoming a priest even before he was Catholic. I mean, how interesting is that? Listeners, if you didn't catch it, go back to the podcast. Go back to our website. Pull down the little programming and listen to that podcast, because very interesting. We definitely have to have him back, and we could have done a whole show on his conversion story.
Oh, absolutely. We actually brought him in to talk mainly about iconography, the creation and
writing,
the whole tradition writing an icon, which are what most people would consider paintings, but they have a particular look to them. They're kind of more of a representation of something than, I mean, we think of a painting, the more it looks like a photo, the better we like
sure,
it.
Sure, sure, sure.
Iconography is not that. Like that at all.
No, it's often, you know, the hands or the head are kind of out of proportion, and it's, but he explained that. It was
absolutely
very, very interesting. And our guests today are no less fascinating. That was so interesting. Debbie Miller, welcome back. God bless you. She is the founder of Healing Hidden Hurts. And also we have Lisa Brassi with us today. God bless you both.
Thank you
for coming, Debbie. I remember years ago, the very first time was at the pyramids, ages and ages ago.
Yes, uh-huh.
I mean, that's like 10 years ago, I think,
long
right?
Time.
Long time ago. But for our listeners who are not familiar with the word, the term Healing Hidden Hurts, I love that. I love the term. I love the name of the organization and the group.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit about what it is, Debbie.
Well, Healing Hidden Hurts is a post-abortion ministry for women. It started, it's been 18 years now since I've been doing ministry. And I feel like I feel greatly honored that I am allowed to kind of come alongside these women in their healing journey. And I feel like I am in, I guess, the passenger seat as God does his work with these women, because it's all a work of grace, and I get a front row seat.
You know, we've talked about this. I know some of our listeners are not familiar with Healing Hidden Hurts.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I'd like to do is actually take a few minutes and talk to Lisa, and then I'd like to kind of come back and hear about the process that,
sure.
that people go through, and the signs and the indications. Lisa, Tell us a little bit about you, what side of town you live on, what parish you belong to, kids, what you do between 9 and 5.
Okay. I live on the southeast side of Marion County. I am in Nativity Parish.
Oh, Nativity, yeah.
Sure. Yes. I've been married for 34 years. I have 3 grown daughters.
Oh, God bless you.
And I have 3 grandchildren and 1 on the way.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Oh, my goodness. So, How old is your oldest grandchild?
He is 18 months.
Oh, my goodness.
And the youngest is 4 months.
Oh, a family get-together. It's going to be fun there.
Oh, you've got little angel muffins.
Very, very little angel muffins. Yes, it's wonderful.
Oh, Debbie, do you have any grandkids?
Yes, we have 5. Yes, our oldest is 16 and the youngest is 7.
Oh, so my goodness.
We don't have babies anymore.
We only have 1 married. Another one's getting married at the end of May. But we have a 5-year-old and a 1-year-old. And oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Jim, so you have a few grandkids.
Oh, yeah. 5. Mm-hmm. All the way from 25 down to 3.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Gracious. Oh, 3. So, see, they still got you hopping, right? Okay, so Nativity Parish.
Yes.
Yeah. Who is the pastor down there?
That is Father Pat Doyle.
Oh, Father Pat Doyle.
Yes.
Yeah. We've got to have him in. Haven't had him in for a while. Okay. Yeah. And Lisa, I understand that you have a story to share also. How did you get involved with Healing Hidden Hurts?
I became involved. I heard Debbie speak at our parish. It's probably... I want to say 8 years ago or 9, somewhere around in there. She gave a talk, and it really struck a chord with me because when I was in high school, I had an abortion. Oh. And I had known for a long time that I needed to do something, that there was just something about the abortion that affected me and my family. So once I heard her story, I was like, oh, I need to talk to her, and I need to find out if there's something she can do to help me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I put it off.
Sure, of course.
I put it off for like 3 years. Finally, I just came, I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't keep dealing with this. And my daughters at that time were grown. I mean, they were getting... you know, to where they were going to be gone. And my oldest one was getting ready to, I don't remember now if she's going off to college or she's been traveling the world. So I know that she was going to be gone for a long time. And I just said, I have to start with her. Well, come to find out, she knew about Debbie and her ministry. Oh. Oh, she had heard her at a parish and had also had her come and speak at maybe St. John's, and then she also said that I think she heard you or had you come to, I can't think of the name of it. It was...
Theology on Tap.
Theology on Tap. That is such a great program.
Yes. Yeah. And so I did. I called Debbie, and we met within a week, and instantly felt relief. Instantly felt... comfort and compassion.
That she had come to the right place.
Yes.
If you're just now tuning in, listeners, our guest today, Debbie Miller, who is the founder of Healing Hidden Hurts, and Lisa Brassey, who's been through Healing Hidden Hurts. So Debbie kind of companioned you through this process.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So you, what's interesting is that you'd heard her and knew that this was something that you wanted to pursue and something that spoke to your heart, but it took you a period of time. I know there are listeners out there who have heard Debbie before and heard her before and before again, because we've had her many, many times.
Yes.
And have felt nudgings of, I wonder if that's me. I wonder if I need... So many of us think we can do it on our own.
Right.
We can do everything on our own, you know? Sure. And we'll talk a little bit in a little bit about symptoms, signs and symptoms and things that might ring a bell. But I think that maybe there's something here that needs companionship, that we need to go through the process. And you did go through a 10-step process with Debbie.
Yes, I did.
So what was, so tell us about that. Was this, well, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but.
No, I'm not sure if I took longer than what I should have. Mm-hmm. I know that there's kind of like a, you meet, I don't remember if we were meeting on a weekly basis or every couple of weeks, but I know that there are times when I was just like, I just don't know if I can continue doing this, you mm-hmm. know, because it just, it's very personal. Oh, sure. And you know, you're afraid that you're going to have somebody think bad of you. But it's freeing. It's a relief. It's just, you know, once you finally keep going through those steps, and I think it probably took me 6-7 months to go through the 10-step process. Mm-hmm. But once I was finished with it, it was great. It was, she was there with me.
Now, let me ask you this, because there are people that are listening and thinking, okay, so you belong to Nativity Parish, and I belong to Geist, or I'm on the far west side, or the far southeast side, or up in Carmel. You're so far away. I wonder if, you know, how does that work? I mean, do you meet at a parish? Do you meet in your home? Debbie, are you portable and mobile and go all over
portable.
The place? so you drive everywhere?
I go where God leads is
Whoa,
where I go.
God bless you.
But I do have a stationary. I do have a ministry space in my parish of St. Anthony.
Where is St. Anthony?
It's on the west side. It's just west of like IUPY.
Uh-huh,
so
sure.
It's on Warman Avenue,
okay,
between Washington and Michigan Street.
So you have an office, but if there was someone in, you know, listening to us in Carmel or on the far mm-hmm. east side of town, you could arrange a meeting place.
Yes. I have another place that I use on the north side, the Gabriel office. They allow me to use their space when they're not using it. And I have contacted pastors before. If I have someone in the Carmel area, I've used Our Lady of Mount Carmel several times. So it, and even like Noblesville, you know, they've allowed me to come out and use their space. So if I have someone that can't come to me, we'll make arrangements to meet someplace, normally in a parish, to meet with them, because I don't want someone to not come because it's
sure.
Too difficult for them to travel.
And we will get into that process, but we need to take a break and we'll be right back.
Anytime you get in the car, turn on the radio, you know that there's going to be something encouraging.
It's such an encouragement and enriching to my own Christian walk.
It brings me a great deal of peace.
I really am blessed whenever I listen.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. Our guest today, Debbie Miller. She is the founder of Healing Hidden Hurts, and Lisa Brassi, who went through Healing Hidden Hurts with Debbie, and telling us a little bit about her experience. You know, I want to ask you before we hear a little bit more about the process, Lisa, what was it that you think kept you from going the 3 years? Was it fear, or was it hurt or shame or the unknowing, or what was it that, and then what was it that finally propelled you to, you know what, I'm going, this is it?
I would say it for, you know, the time between when I heard Debbie speak at our parish and the time that I actually contacted her, just the fear, I think, of actually verbalizing that I had done something horrible, wasn't by my choice.
Sure.
My parents, I did whatever they told me to do, you know, as most children do. And I just kept putting it off because I just didn't know, kind of, even though I knew about Debbie, I just wasn't sure how to reach out to her. And I don't like making phone calls. I've always had kind of a stuttering problem when I get nervous. And so I would, you know, just put things off and you know, wanted to do it the right way. But I just was like, I just don't know. It was scary. But I kept having that nudge that I needed.
Angel. Yes. Because obviously you're guardian angel. Now, are you in a position, Lisa, where you could I know Debbie meets with people and walks them through the process, but do you also do that, Lisa?
I do not. I've often thought about it. I have shared my witness since I've gone through the 10-step prep program with Debbie a couple of different times. Created a video with
oh my,
that she has on her website that tells my story. But I just keep having this nudge that I need to share it more and that I need to share it in order for other women to know that there is help out there and that they can Amen. Have healing.
Amen.
That their hurt can be taken care of.
Amen.
And so, yes, that's why I like her name of her ministry, Healing Hidden Hurts, because it yes. hits it right there.
Yeah. And Debbie, you have such a gentle, calm, sweet, inviting way about you anyway. I always kind of feel like I'm going to confession when you're sitting when you're sitting across the table from me. You just seem so kind. And I think, you know, I think what has to be a part of this ministry is an absence of judgment and yes. and just mm-hmm. a blanket mm-hmm. of love.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, that's these women have to, and men, but women have to understand mm-hmm. that there is nothing but love available to them.
That's
and
true.
no judgment at all.
Right.
Because, mm-hmm. you know, as you said, Lisa, I mean, there are women that weren't completely in control of the decisions that were made, possibly, you know, mm-hmm. and some women made decisions more quickly than they, you know, are kind of pressured into a decision quickly. So there are all kinds of reasons out there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that really, I think, Healing Hidden Hurts is an opportunity to kind of walk through this a little bit more slow motion and understand the damage
yes.
that mm-hmm. an abortion, of course, the world doesn't say that. You know, we don't hear that, but
right,
but
right.
you have lived that, Debbie, with mm-hmm. so many women.
Right.
So tell us a little bit about the process. So it's a 10-step process.
Mm-hmm.
Let's kind of go through the steps
okay.
so someone might understand what the expectation is or what they might expect.
Okay. The 10-step, we meet every week for the 10 steps, about an hour and a half to 2 hours, depending on what she needs. In this process, it's an act of grace where she's invited to invite Jesus into this process, because it's God's work that is in the mix of all this. I'm the listening person. I'm the you know, she's talking to me, she's sharing her pain, her sorrows, exactly the things that happened. And I'm trying to help her to see God's compassion and love for her. Because a lot of times she's lost her way. She feels such shame and guilt that she has lost the realization of her great dignity.
Sure.
She's a child of God, and God loves her, and he never gives up on her.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you're right in saying that I'm that person that's trying to help her to understand how much God loves her and that he desires her to be healed. And he doesn't care about what's happened in her past. He wants to know where she's going to end up in her future,
sure.
that she's going to be with God. And so all of that is a part of this 10-step process. And as we go through this process, we're looking for the truth. Because so many times women want to take on 100% of all the guilt. It was my fault. I did it. Ultimately, it was my decision. Even though I was pressured, even though there was coercion, even though there's all these other factors. And so, you know, as we're going through this process, she realizes that when she does seek what the truth is, she sees that there were a lot of other people who were involved in that decision. And she's only responsible for her portion of it. And they are responsible to God for their portion of it. And so that kind of helps take some of that pressure off for her.
Sure.
But the steps are, step one is the pre-pregnant woman. We look at who she was before. And this is crucial because in my case, when I went through this myself the first time, it was the first time I realized that there was a before and after. The abortion event is traumatic. It changes your life. And a lot of times women don't recognize that there has been a trauma and that there are changes. And when they go through this first step, it kind of helps them take a step back and say, wow, you know, there was a change, and it, my life did change after that. And as we go through these steps, she comes to realize even more closely how much and how deeply she was impacted. Step two is the pregnancy. We look at the situation that she was in, the emotions, the reactions when she announced the pregnancy to whomever. You know, maybe it was parents, maybe it was her husband, maybe it was a boyfriend. You know, how did they respond to this news of the pregnancy? Most of the time, the women are excited about the pregnancy, but the people who learn of this pregnancy with her are not. And so, you know, we kind of look at what was the whole situation regarding that pregnancy. Step three is the abortion decision. How did that decision come about? Who was involved in that decision? And that's very important too, because for the first time, many times they've never talked to anybody. You know, it could be 20, 25, 30 years and they've never told anybody. So you've got all of this hurt that she's holding inside of her. And as she starts talking to me, she comes to realize, wow, you know, this is what really happened. And she's seeing someone who's listening to her that accepts her, that cares about her, that is letting her know that God cares about her too. And we're looking for the truth. You know, you only have to take responsibility for what is your portion and not for the whole thing. Step four is the actual day of the procedure. And this is very, very difficult for women. But we look at the entire day. You know, what was that day like? Was she alone? Did she drive by herself or was someone with her? And afterwards, was she by herself? Did someone stay with her? Did someone care about what she went through, or was she all by herself? And did she stay by herself and no one knew? Did she have physical complications? Did anyone care? Was anyone there for her through all that? Sometimes it's just heartbreaking to hear these stories.
If you're just now tuning in, listeners, our guest today, Debbie Miller, and she is the founder of Healing Hidden Hurts. We also have with us today Lisa Brassi, who went through the program with Debbie. And Debbie's kind of explaining, we're about halfway through the steps that you go through with each woman. You mm-hmm. companion them. And I like that you're going through this in slow motion, because we've had women who've come in from time to time and ask about it, but we haven't really, and although you've been a guest several times, we haven't really gone through these steps. And I do think it's important for if there's someone listening, that you kind of lift the veil, and this is what's available.
Mm-hmm.
Available. I'll lift the veil. Available. Okay. So we're halfway through. So the sixth step.
Okay.
Is,
well, we finished the fourth step.
Oh, four. Okay. Missed five.
Okay. But the first four are the most difficult, because that's when you're actually centering on the abortion itself. So step five is the accommodation stage. So now we're looking at how has this abortion affected you, and we're looking at it in time increments. So the first week after the abortion, how did things change, you know, with your job, with your relationships? Physical, did you have physical problems, that complications from that abortion? And where were you spiritually? So then we look at it time increments. So maybe 3 years later, where were you then? And maybe 3 years later, and then usually like a month or so before you contact me, where are you then? So
right.
We're kind of taking an overview of the time from the abortion to the time where she presents herself for healing. And in that, it's like a really eye-opening step for her, because she's starting to really see just how deeply she had been impacted by that abortion. And so from here on, we're kind of starting into the healing process then. So step six, we're looking at hurts. We're looking at the people who were involved in the pregnancy and the abortion decision, and what were the hurts that she received. And sometimes this is hard for her, because she's never really thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's taken everything on for herself, and she's not thought about the people who were involved and the things that happened that were so hurtful to her. Step seven is anger. A lot of times our response to hurt is anger. And a lot of women who have had abortions are very angry
mm-hmm.
women.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at these women who are really people who are, you know, want choice to be provided through Planned Parenthood or whatever, we see a lot of angry women. And a lot of times women who are post-abortion really struggle with anger, as I did for many years.
And they may not know why.
That's right. They may not know why. So anger is... we address healthy ways to release anger. emotional anger and also spiritual anger. And so one good way to work through the anger spiritually is to become involved somehow in pro-life work. So, you know, whether you can become a Gabriel angel or work with 40 Days for Life or help somehow in the ministry, I do have people to help.
Sure, and I'll look for it. Yeah.
So anyway, quickly, the next step would be forgiveness, where we look at the people who have hurt us and the hurts that we've received, and we take all of that to God in forgiveness. This is a very powerful step because we're really looking at up close at what these hurts were. It's not a superficial forgiveness. It's very concrete,
sure.
Very powerful. Step 9 is the baby. We honor the baby. The mother has given the child a name. A lot of times before she ever contacts me, she's already knows the sex of the baby and she's already named the baby because mothers know.
Mm-hmm.
Mothers know.
Sure they do.
And so in this step, we are honoring the child who has been given to God. And step 10 is going on with God. Step 10, I've gotten to know her, and she's gotten to know herself a little bit better, and we look at what are her gifts and talents, and how can she give back to God, and how can she use what she has learned from this experience in order to help others.
Healing Hidden Hurts, Debbie Miller, founder of Healing Hidden Hurts, going through the process kind of in slow motion with us, listeners. If this is something that you think you're ready for, and maybe you've been hurt by abortion and you're ready to take the next step, I urge you to pick up the phone and call Debbie. Help is just a phone call away. And for those people that are interested, how can they contact you, Debbie?
They can give me a call. My phone number is 317-490-1267, or they can also go to our website, www.healinghiddenhurts.org. Go to the website, listen to the videos there, and contact me. I'd love to help them.
Amen. Thank you so much for being our guest on Faith in Action.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Faith in Action, underwritten in part by Marian University and by Franciscan St. Francis Health. If you'd like to suggest a guest or a topic for a future program, call us at 317-870-8400 or email mj@catholicradioindy.org. And remember, you can hear or download this program or any Faith in Action program 24/7 at catholicradioindy.org. Just click on the programming tab and select podcasts.